Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Pre-Accident Podcast. I'm your totally capable host for this episode. Yeah, that's what I'd be. My name's Todd Conklin, and I'm glad you're here. What do I have to tell you today? Well, as always, it's a big day. There's lots of stuff going on. It's been an incredible, incredible beginning of the summer. I'm traveling like crazy, but a lot of the travel I'm doing is just FUN fun. Going with the family on a cruise, then coming home. Going with the family on a cruise, then coming home. I said that twice because I'm doing it twice. That's how dedicated I am. Everything is grand, though, and I hope you're doing well. Thanks for your feedback on these podcasts, and always thank you for listening to the episodes. I hope they're helping you. I really, really appreciate it when you subscribe. That's good. The goal is to not let our numbers sag too much because, we might as well have people listen to these. I'm also really happy by the feedback that I'm getting from a lot of you guys saying that they find these invigorating, energizing, and encouraging. I think that's true of me as well. I hadn't put it together that way, but I completely think building this community of thought, which is exactly what this podcast is doing, which is kind of a fancy pants way of saying there are other people doing the same work, having these same struggles as you are, and they're doing their very best to learn as they go. The great news is we can talk to each other. The even greater news is we can share this information with each other. Lots of big names coming up on the podcast as well. I'm really excited. A bunch of people, good friends of mine, and some people that I'm meeting for the first time. In fact, today's podcast is interesting because I'd never met this person before. We entirely met over Skype in order to do a podcast just for you guys. And this is an interesting one because we're going to focus a little bit on healthcare. In fact, today we're going to focus entirely on healthcare, and we probably should. Healthcare is really in a pickle, and lots of the information that we've learned years ago would be helpful to them now. In fact, I think healthcare is playing a big fat game of catch-up. Not ketchup like you put on a hamburger, although that is great ketchup, but catching up with where we are. And today's really fun because we're going to talk to a lady named Amanda Kensler. Amanda is a graduate of Lund University, so she's got a really strong background in organizational safety, New View. She works at the University of Texas Medical Branch in Galveston, Texas. Now, she's not going to say that in the interview, and I thought she chose to not say it on purpose because for some people, being on the podcast is kind of high risk. But in fact, she just didn't say it. She actually did say it. I realize now that she talks about GMC, which clearly is Galveston Medical Center, but I didn't know what it was at the time, but I couldn't act like I didn't know. Anyway, you're really going to like Amanda. She's a thinker, but I think best of all, she's incredibly positive and incredibly, incredibly encouraging. Interestingly enough, that's kind of how I started talking this morning about the podcast. Let's take some time and listen to her and see what you think, and I'll talk to you on the back side of this podcast. But I think you're going to find this interview very, very encouraging and actually incredibly interesting. So without any further ado, here comes Amanda Kensler. How did you come to all this?
Well, it's interesting. A little bit of a long story, but I'll try to make it short. In 2005, I've been a nurse about 20 years and started in risk management in around 2007, a healthcare risk management. And about in 2005, due to some issues that happened in my life, I had really focused on family systems, natural systems in the family. I worked a lot on studying Dr. Murray Bowen.
Yes.
And so I had started doing that, and I was so intrigued in the benefits of learning how to approach your family differently how to help yourself in your reactions and your anxiety, really kind of changing the way you think about yourself and in the dynamic of your family and your history behind you has a lot to do with how you perceive yourself in your family, etc. And so I had studied that for since 2005, I guess. And then when I came across a coworker or a colleague that I was introduced to, he was in the university at Lund University in the program, the Human Factor System Safety program.
Sure, that's
and
a, it's at, a
that was
program.
In 2011, and I was interested in working on a master's. I just didn't know which program to go into. I had looked at risk management. There's not a at the time in 2011, there wasn't a whole lot of universities that had risk management masters. There's a few, I think, in Illinois and in Florida. But when I met this colleague, Steve Montague, you may know Steve. He's with LifeWings, which is a crew resource management training program.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, he actually introduced me to it because he was saying, well, look at, you know, look at this program over in at Lund University. And so I did. And, man, when I saw the explanation and of the program, I was so interested in it because it was so much about changing the way people think and the systems that they work in and the dynamic that they're involved in as a integral piece of the whole process. And I thought, man, this is so similar to what I've been studying with Dr. Bowen and his work for, you know, for a long period of time. And I thought, if you can help people change the way they think, you might can change some of the cultures to change it. I don't know that if you just apply different, let's say, flavors of the month, if you come up with some project or new initiative, it not necessarily helps people. If you can help them with their own perception of them inside themselves and how they play into it, I think you may have a better way of helping them. Into where they work in their organization.
That's amazing. I mean, that's an amazing thing you just said. Can that be done in healthcare? Can we shift healthcare?
Well, I think we can.
That's good news. That's good news.
Yes. I think we can. I think we can change the way people work, and I see it all the time. I see the young, fresh residents and nurses look at the processes and are better at looking at that there's possibilities that things can go wrong and kind of an anticipation of it more than the older generations. And I think it's just going to take some time because we're just really in the adolescent years of safety. We're kind of gangly about it, but I think we'll be able to use all of the organizational help and through a lot of effort, I think we can really make a difference in the way we do our healthcare. And you can see some of the effects. I think it was ARC that came out with a recent research that stated, you know, that we actually have improved about 17% of a decline in injuries and infections and things with throughout the nation. So
that's amazing.
I think that's really a good improvement, and all of that comes from all of the years that, you know, back in the early 2000s, I guess it was the research they did with the Keystone Project and a variety of other projects that they decreased infection rates and many of those things. So I think those have really helped along the way to help standardize and helped us learn as we learn from research that we can really improve the way we do things overall.
Why do you think the younger generation is better at looking at systemic organizational issues than the old schoolers? Do you have an idea?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, healthcare's changed so much in 50 years. You know, it used to be more of a cottage industry kind of mentality, right?
Yeah.
So, but as the younger generations come in, they aren't going to know that. They're going to only know that they work in these big buildings and they have to communicate with each other in these, it's almost like working in at a refinery. I mean, that's the way I explain it when I teach, do some education. You're working in a big building with all different kinds of departments and all different levels of communication, and you have to get that communication all the way from the beginning of a patient's stay through the end, and all the aspects of talking to radiology and laboratory and all those moving parts are moving constantly, and you're in such a dynamic situation. And I think they will be able to grasp that because that's what they're going to know from the beginning. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's amazing. It's amazing to hear a healthcare professional compare a hospital to a refinery, because I think you're right. I mean, I think a refinery is a big, complex system with many moving parts, and the cost of failure is very high. A hospital is a big, complex system with many moving parts, and the cost of failure is very high. I mean,
right.
That's remarkable. Tell us now. What do you do now? What's your current status?
Well, I'm a risk manager. I work at a university setting, academic hospital.
Okay.
And we do a lot of education, patient safety education, as well as, you know, work on the back end. You know, risk managers in healthcare really started from, I believe, in the 70s and 80s when malpractice lawsuits were very, very large at the time. And so they became, you know, worked kind of with claims and lawsuits. But now most of the risk managers that I know work on both sides. You know, they know a lot about how things can go wrong. And so why not use the risk managers to help with patient safety, because they can explain and they can investigate and they can do things that can really improve help the hospital improve systems.
When you do this, the staff education stuff you do, do you have kind of a fundamentals class that you sort of build fluency? You try to build a vocabulary within the hospital staff, the nursing staff, those kind of people?
No, I kind of wish, I really wish that we, the schools themselves, the schools of medicine and the schools of nursing and allied health, had some safety courses in them, because I think it's very valuable for the new, when you're first coming on your profession, it's very valuable to know exactly what you're aiming for. And for all of those classes or courses, they need to help, of course, with the technical training, of course, with learning about medicine and about nursing. Those are very valuable, but incorporating safety at that level, to me, is very valuable. And I don't think we do that yet. I think there's some pockets of schools that I do believe incorporate. Like, I believe Baylor just started a elective for nurses. That's a crew resource management course, Team Steps.
Oh, nice.
And so that's really good. I do some teaching here for the nurse residency program, we do a couple of times a month do education. I try to incorporate very, very basic, really old view and new view kind of into how do you do incident reporting and the value of incident reporting. Of course, most risk management in the U.S. Kind of are the owners of incident reporting. So we try to instill and incorporate a non-punitive culture and kind of the basis that of the culture that you would like to see for healthcare, for your community of nurses and residents and your staff. You want them to have a comfort level of reporting, and I think that it's very difficult to do that in the current status. But it's coming along slowly, I think. So I try to incorporate some of the vocabulary. I think it would be good if I could do a little bit more, but you know, there's only so many hours in the day, right?
I know that. How about the physicians? Do you get a good opportunity to work with them, especially around incident reporting, that kind of thing?
Yes. In fact, I just presented a poster presentation with the director of the GMC here. Both of us went to San Diego for this presentation because we did a whole initiative last year on teaching the residents about incident reporting. It has become a requirement by the accrediting body for residents. It's called CLEAR. And they have required that the hospitals teach residents how in all the ins and outs of incident reporting. So, but even before we were going to have our visit, I guess, but we had already started to incorporate the residents. So the director and myself went to every department. We have like 120 different departments or small groups of residents. We have over 500 residents currently. So we went to each one and we did a little training program and explaining a little bit. I really talked a lot about the old view and the new view and incorporated that, trying to not have any type of scapegoating or blaming or any of that, but really a better kind of a forward-looking accountability type of atmosphere, non-punitive, it's anonymous, and it really changed. We increased our rate of residency participation by over 700%.
Wow.
In 6 months.
Wow. Okay,
I think they were really excited. I think the part of it was they were just never introduced to it, you know. And but we were able to, with a lot of effort and a lot of work, we were able to get to them one-on-one. A lot of it had to do with just meeting with them, the support of the director of the program, the GME, and just having all of that come together. I think it was a really good project, and I think we've been able to sustain it quite a bit. This was back last summer, and so we've sustained the residency participation quite a bit. So that's been really, really good.
Oh, that's impressive. I mean, you have to, if you don't feel like you've accomplished something and proud of that, let me take a moment to tell you, you ought to feel like you've accomplished. I mean, those kind of changes happen one step at a time, and if you start early and you build that culture where learning is important, where they understand completely that the reason you do event investigations is to learn and improve, that carries a lot of weight. I mean, that's a really, really good way to think about that. That's impressive. I'm quite impressed. What are your biggest challenges?
I think the biggest challenge is the way it's still kind of the way we're internalized and the way we think as healthcare providers. you know, we've always been trained to reach a level of perfection. And I've heard some of your other, and I think Sydney alluded to this mainly, I think he did, if I recall. But as you know, I mean, this isn't really new. Boss talks about this in his work as well, but reaching this level of perfection, when you, as you're trained as a healthcare provider, whether it's a nurse or a physician, that instills this inner core standard within you that it's all about you, or it's all about how you're going to perform, like a performance. And it doesn't include, when you teach people that, they forget their own fallibility. And I think if we could own our own fallibility, I think we could understand that all the things around us, all of the things we see at the time that we're doing things, we could understand where the weaknesses are that are outside of us. But because we own it inside, we can't see all those other things outside of us that create that environment that mistake can happen. And so I think we've got to just continue to improve that and look at the entire picture and look at all the things that we work with, all the technical things we work with, the machines and the equipment and the way we interface with others and the way we interface with the technology. All of those things have to come together to make the improvement. As long as we think that I'll just be better tomorrow, I'll work better, I'll work harder, I'll do better, I'll work better tomorrow, then we just can't improve. And I think it's a long way for all of us to understand our own fallibility.
That's pretty powerful. Has the Joint Commission been helpful, the efforts they've taken around high reliability? Has that sort of created a different conversation at the regulator level?
Yeah, I think this is what's really going to help is the regulating bodies, the all the agencies that help us. I think when they use good vocabulary and change some of the wording and help us with our systems issues and not focus so much on the individual, I think it really will be powerful and really it does help. It really does help.
How about your leadership? Has that been, are they a part of this journey? Are they interested in this conversation? Do they see the value in that conversation?
Yes, they do. Yes. Yes. It's slow. You know, I mean, everybody has to be on the same page and it's not perfect, but I don't know that any industry is, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But I do think leadership is trying. I think healthcare overall is trying as fast as they can to catch up with the safety world. And everything you see is looking toward patient safety, safety for the healthcare worker, you know, looking at all, even the laws they're looking at a lot of laws that we have and legislation. You know, nurse staffing is a hot topic right now. So I think that everybody is attempting to make the best efforts they can moving forward.
What are your current cool things you're thinking right now? What do you see as kind of the next steps for your facility, for your hospital? What's interesting you right now?
Oh, wow.
I know,
well,
that's a hard
one.
Question. I know. unfair.
We're working toward a lot of those things. I think as a hospital as a whole, we do a lot of research. We do a lot of, I think, nursing research has really just expounded over the last few years, and I think we're doing a whole lot of that and participating in that. I think that is very beneficial to knowledge, or being able to take the research and to use it and spread the word, because once you have research, you can spread the word to other facilities and learn from each other so much more. So, you know, there's a lot of focus on nursing research, and there is a lot of efforts to try to organize ourselves so we can communicate with each other. As you know, in a lot of other organizations, you have silos everywhere. So you have to learn how to communicate between departments and through levels of staff. And so we do a lot of work on just trying to communicate to ourselves and to each other.
That's super important. I mean, that makes a huge, huge, huge difference. Man, this has been fun. I've learned so much in the last 25 minutes. You're great.
Oh, well, thank you, Todd. I really appreciate your format. I think it is so beneficial, and I learn a lot from just listening to others. And I don't know if anybody would learn from listening here, but I really have appreciated getting to talk.
I can guarantee you that people learn today. That's how confident I am. It's fun, isn't it, just having these conversations? Did we cover everything we needed to cover?
Sure, okay. I think so.
Wow, there you have it. That was Amanda Kanzler. I thought she really had lots to say, and I think it's important that we hear it. At least it was for me. Maybe it just hit me just right. But I'll bet you were kind of on the same journey. Building fluency, building the vocabulary early, the encouragement she feels about the change, kind of paso y paso, one step at a time, step by step, that's pretty important for us to hear and listen to. And the healthcare world is a big world. I think I'm going to talk to my friend Alan Frankfurt. I should probably tell him I'm going to say his name. Or better yet, tell him I'm going to ask him to be on the podcast. That would be a good start. I think he would bring a lot of depth to this as well. And I actually think uncovering this healthcare side and bringing them into our community of thought and our discussion is probably well worth our time. That is pretty much today's podcast. I hope you had a great time. It is always fun. Thank you so much for listening. It really is nice. You're building community, and you're doing it very effectively, and you're talking to each other, and you're bringing a lot of new people in. Whatever you do, whatever your job is, whether you're a safety guy or a pilot guy or a computer guy or a systems guy or a risk manager in a hospital, I'm glad you're listening, and I know you've got lots to add. That's the podcast for today. I'll see you in a couple days. Until then, learn something every day. Have as much possible fun as you can squeeze into that body of yours. And for goodness sakes, be safe.